This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. Ringgit and Cents on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, welcome to the show. I'm Julian Ng. The Islamic finance market is growing by leaps and bounds, not only in Malaysia, but around the world. Today, we're going to talk about one aspect of Islamic banking, which is takaful. And joining me is George Kao, Senior Vice President and Head of Actuarial Services with Takaful Ikhlas. So, George, good morning. Can we start with an explanation? What is takaful?
Takaful is an Islamic insurance. Takaful is for all. So the reason I came here is because in a latest report titled Malaysian Takaful Dynamics by Malaysian Takaful Associations and Ernst & Young, the takaful penetration rate in Malaysia is still very low. It is at the level of 13.9% versus the penetration rate of conventional insurance of 38.9%.
So this is an insurance product?
Yes.
Is it a general insurance or is it life insurance?
There are two. There are in takaful, the life insurance is called family takaful, whereby the general is still called general. It's called general takaful.
What is the difference between takaful and conventional insurance?
The difference would be the concept that underlies the products. In conventional insurance, it is actually a buy and sell contract, whereby for takaful contract, it is actually a donation contract with a fee income to the takaful operators. So the role of the takaful operators is to pool the contributions, and we will accumulate it in a donation pool, and the donation pool will be used to help the participant in the event of their misfortunes. Say for example, for a family takaful products that covers death and critical illness and medical and health. So in the event of hospitalizations, the participant or life covered will be covered for the cost of the misfortune.
So how does this element of donation work? Can you explain a little bit more about that?
Compared to conventional insurance, whereby the premium will be channeled to the life fund and the money belongs to the company. So the conventional insurers can use the money to operate the business, including paying for the management expenses of the company. In takaful, there is this segregation of fund. The donation is actually kept separately from the shareholders fund. The takaful operator operate the business from the using the fund from the shareholders fund. So there is no commingle of fund between the donation and the operating expenses fund.
Is there a pricing advantage between takaful products and conventional insurance products?
In conventional, the level of guarantee can be committed upfront. Whereas for takaful, the fortune of the person who participate in takaful plans actually move in tandem with the fortune of the company. So when in good times, the takaful operator will declare underwriting surpluses or in profits to the participant. Whereas in conventional, for example, the non-participating products, the benefits are actually illustrated upfront, scheduled upfront, and all will be guaranteed by the insurance company. So in terms of pricing, for takaful operators, we cannot illustrate the underwriting surpluses at the onset, but we will declare the surplus when we make the profits or underwriting gains from the donation fund.
So this actually introduces an aspect of uncertainty into the takaful product. Does this help, do you think, in planning for the financial objectives of the buyer?
I'm an actuary by profession. So in the long run, this model will be more sustainable because the takaful operators are actually managing the risk on behalf of the participants. Our income rely on the fees, and the fees are disclosed upfront. So in times of financial crisis, we will be more resilient from the external factors, such as, you know, when the interest rate or profit rate go up or down, you know, we will just be passing the profits to the customer. So we don't bear the risk. And that's why we are called takaful operators. We are not insurance company. We are operating the donation fund and the investment fund on behalf of our customers.
So is the fee a flat rate or as a percentage of the policy?
The fees could vary, but it should be disclosed upfront to the customer. And there is this ACAD. ACAD is actually an agreement between the Takaful operators and the participants. These fees will be made upfront to the customers in the product disclosure sheets as well as in the sales, in the benefit illustrations.
Now, it is said that there is a charity element in Takaful products. How does this work?
The contribution, after minusing the fee, we call it wakala fees, it will be channeled to the participant investment fund. And from this participant investment fund, we will manage the fund for the customers. And in this case, we call them participant. According to the contract, you know, it depends on product. Some product will, the tabaruk or so-called the donation will be drip upfront, one-off from the investment fund, or it could be drip on monthly basis. So from there, we will start accumulating the donation fund and we will use the fund to pay for the claim. And the participants are actually jointly guarantee each other instead of the Takaful operator offer the guarantee to the participant. So in insurance or in Takaful, the concept is the same for the pooling of risk, whereby, you know, when we have this contribution or donation from all the participants, you know, and we keep into the participant risk fund, and when the risk fund grows, it helps to, you know, help those who are misfortune. So not everyone will fall sick on the same day, but there will be time, you know, when the one who is sick will receive assistance from this fund.
Yep, so this is based on the law of large numbers in that sense. Are there investment-linked products, just as you would find in conventional insurance products?
Yes, we call it investment-linked Takaful. So the clear difference between investment-linked insurance and investment-linked Takaful is we offer surplus to be distributed back to the participant. So because we are the operator of the fund, the donation funds doesn't belong to us. It belongs to the pool of participants. So when there is surpluses in the fund, we will give back according to the limit set out by the Bank Negara guidelines. According to the Bank Negara guidelines, for every ringgit that the shareholder get, the surplus that the shareholder will entitled to, the Takaful operator is obliged to share at least or more than $1 back to the participant. So it's a dollar to dollar basis. So there is no way where the Takaful operator can get more surpluses out from the Tabaruk fund or the donation fund compared to the pool of the participants.
Does this actually mean that the Takaful buyer or the purchaser of Takaful would receive regular money from the Takaful operator?
Yes. And
in the form of cash payments?
To ease the administration, these surpluses will be reinvested in
on
their
behalf.
Fund. Because the cost of issuing cheque and give back to the customer is very costly. So because family Takaful is actually, most of the time, is actually a long-term contract. So to enjoy this economy, whereby we prefer to plow it back to the accounts of the customer instead of, you know, issuing cheque and pay cash to the customer.
That was George Kao Kong Hui, Senior Vice President, Head of Actuarial Services with Takaful Ikhlas. Do Takaful products provide returns compared to conventional insurance? That's coming up next. You're listening to Ringgit & Sense and I'm Julian Ng. I'm speaking to George Kao, Senior Vice President and Head of Actuarial Services with Takaful Ikhlas. And today, of course, we are talking about Takaful products. So, George, I find it very interesting that you, as a Chinese person, is heading out this Takaful division of actuarial services as well. And even though this is an Islamic product, this, I suppose, is also available for purchase to non-Muslims as well.
Yes. In the past, you know, Takaful is actually very prominent in the Muslim market, primarily because Takaful is actually a Sharia-based or Sharia-compliant product. However, you know, due to the expansion of this industry, the non-Muslim also should enjoy from the benefits of these products, because when the funds grow, there will be more surpluses kept in the fund. As I mentioned just now, the Takaful operators are not able to take the surplus entirely. We have to share it out. Every dollar that we share to participant, then only the shareholder will get the dollar back. Most Takaful operators in Malaysia have accumulated a sizable amount of surpluses in their donation fund. We think that, you know, we need to announce this, and we want to encourage more Malaysians to also participate in Takaful products.
What kind of return rates do the distribution result in? Or is that not a correct way to look at it?
Yeah, we do not commit surpluses to be distributed upfront.
Okay, but based on your historical performance, what kind of return rates does that materialize in?
We basically give back, you know, the surpluses that we generated in the risk fund and also in the investment fund. So if the economy is good, then, you know, if we are able to give back more, yeah, we are more than happy to do that, actually.
What would you say are the advantages of Takaful products over conventional products?
For the Takaful products, actually, the concept is the Takaful operator actually help to pull the contribution in the fund. And when the funds grow big, it serves as a capacity for the Takaful operators to accept more risk in the future. And we also have the capacity to distribute more back to the participant. So I think that is the unique proposition for the Takaful operators, whereby for conventional insurance company, the surpluses that they have accumulated in the life fund is deemed as, say for example, for non-participating fund, is deemed as their profits. So it is up to their discretion whether to use their profit and give it back to the customer. Whereas in Takaful operators, there is a guideline issued by Bank Negara. We are not entitled to more than what we give to the participant.
So is it fair to say that because these so-called profits are redistributed back to the holders under Takaful, there are either higher returns or higher savings from the viewpoint of the Takaful holder?
Yeah, right. This is where our strength lies.
And that was George Kao from Takaful Ikhlas discussing, of course, Takaful products. I'm now joined by Lee Chui Lin to look at news in the world of personal finance. What do we have?
We start off with a story of fear and leaving in California. Bill Gross, don't know who he is. I'm sure you do.
Very rich man.
Uh-huh. So when he
prominent bond fund manager.
So somebody I should know, apparently. But when he bolted PIMCO in late September after months of mediocre performance in his total return fund, clients including Wells Fargo and Co. And Charles Schwab Corp, a lot of names all of a sudden, pulled over $61 billion from the money manager, from him.
Yeah, this was something that actually rocked the world of bond investments because Bill Gross was somebody who is rather somebody who's very famous over there, and he switched firms, and a lot of money actually followed him from the old firm to the new firm. And the thing is that is this the right way to do it? Because when you sell your investments, your bond investments, you got to buy it back. So what do you buy, right? And is it a very good strategy to depend on the star power of celebrity fund managers? Research has shown that it is not. And then you also have to contend with the fees, because when you sell something, you pay fees. And then when you buy something back, you pay fees as well. So I don't think it's a good idea.
Close to home, Public Bank's wholly owned subsidiary Public Mutual launched the Public's Strategic Growth Fund that focuses on index blue chips and growth stocks. So that happened on December 8th.
This is really interesting for me because I thought that every fund should be a strategic fund, right?
So you would hope.
I would hope, like, and they should be very long term. It also says here that the equity fund hopes to achieve capital growth over the medium to long term by investing 75% to 98% in a diversified portfolio of stocks. Now, 75 to 98%, that's a huge volatility in your investment level. They also say that between 50 and 75% of NAV would be invested in index stocks. These are very volatile levels. I think it would do the unit trust investor a lot more good if the fund stuck to the long term and stuck at 98% investment, which would reduce costs over the long term, I think.
And moving on, in more Malaysia-specific money news, Kuala Lumpur has the highest number of millionaires denominated in US dollars, surpassing all other cities of the world, according to a report by international wealth research group Wealth Insight.
Well, this is the kind of news that would make a lot of people angry, wouldn't it? Because not many of us are billionaires.
Millionaires
as well as billionaires, right? And it also ties into this other story that we have, which is that inequality actually causes growth to be lower. So I say we must go out there and make it more equal. That's what I say.
Yeah, that's what you say. So it's what we should do. And it's time, as always, to provide you with a money tip of the week for free. And this week's tip is star fund managers. They will fall eventually. Guess who this was about?
Well, not just Bill Gross, but all fund managers. I think many people are persuaded to make unit trust investments based on who the fund manager is. That may not be a bad idea to see how qualified your manager is, but it mustn't be the main reason why you invest. And research has shown that a good performance of celebrity fund managers can't be repeated indefinitely. In fact, they will underperform after the first years of good performance. That is referred to as returning to your batting average. Their performance will actually revert back to the average of what the market gives you, and or worse, they actually go below market return. So what you should do is base your investment on how well the unit trust follows sound investing principles, for instance, regional or global diversification, low levels of cash for equity and bond funds, and low levels of trading and low cost as well.
Okay, we're quickly running out of time as well as quickly heading into the end of the year. Usually a time for people to take stock of their 2014, you know, what you did, where you went. And while you're looking back or looking forward, if you've got any burning questions about what to do with your money, drop us an email and maybe we can help. So there are a couple of ways to get in touch. You can get your questions answered by a certified financial planner by sending a mail into ringgit@bfm.my. You can also tweet at BFM Radio or text 016-201-9000.
And that's it we have for you this week. And we also are approaching the holiday season, so we want to wish you, Merry Christmas. You've been listening to Ringgit and Sense, BFM 89.9.
Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9, the business station. Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.